is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. What's going on?
Just hanging in there. What's going on with you?
Just hanging out here at home, getting ready for the day and getting everybody started with a little traffic out there on the road. We like traffic here because it keeps a captive audience for us. Sorry about that, people. But it seems like the whole world is getting back to normal. The governor says, what, Friday? Everybody, restaurants will be back at 50%. Your boy, LeShane, is going to be going at Friday.
He's gonna yeah, be I think the restaurants that did not open on the early opening, and there were several, I think they are the ones who are going to open the second time around, which is going to have an impact on it's going to start to have an impact on unemployment benefits for a lot of people. So there will be decisions to be made now about whether to because, you know, there hasn't been the coronavirus. One of the things, I don't know if this is known or not, I think it is that restaurants were not responsible for unemployment payment for benefits for people who were laid off. That was something the government said, you know, we got this for you. But once you have a reopening and once a business opens back up and if they offer you your job back and all that stuff and if you decline, they have to, you know, they eventually have to move in a different direction. So it's not just – you're not just going to have money forever just coming in if you're not working. There is going to be a finite end to it. I mean, there's an end to it. And once that happens, that's when we'll see people either have to find new employment or we could see, you know, we could see the ravages of unemployment really spike its head over the next 2 months. That's what I've been told, especially in the restaurant business.
Yeah, I was talking to I was over at Nick's the other day, and he was saying, yeah, there are a lot of restaurants that are having problems because their employees are making more money now than they were when they were working.
Yeah, there's a $600 bonus, a coronavirus like bonus on the payments. It's not typically what you see, so there's an additional $600 being paid, which is making it it's a rare, unusual circumstance where some people are making more. Some waiters, some servers, they're making more with not working than working, but that's going to be ending soon.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, they'll have to get back to work. But in the meantime, you know, the restaurants are having a little problem. I heard one restaurant was paying like everybody. You know how waiters will get like $3 an hour and then work for tips. And there's one restaurant that was offering $15 an hour for everybody.
Oh, no, LeShane's having to do it too. A lot of restaurants are having to do this.
Yeah.
People to come back earlier.
Yeah.
They also understand, you know, it's more dangerous. Despite what you'll occasionally see somebody on Facebook put, that this is just the common flu. Like, I swear on everything, I've never heard of the flu wiping out entire old folks' homes. Never in my life. And now I know four different people who have, I know them from somebody directly tied to me who have lost people now due to coronavirus. I think the one thing for me, the whole flu idea, you know, once again, I read that article about how the flu numbers are put together, which is, they even admitted, it's not exactly exact, and we err on the side of the most aggressive numbers we can find to push people towards taking it seriously, but now it's being used against them. Well, once we started talking to people like Odette Greer, you know, people who are on the front line in New York, you find out real quick that people who have to actually work there and not just sit on Facebook and talk about it, they'll tell you how much different it is. Like, yeah, never really had these same issues when it was flu season, and I've been working in as a nurse for 20 years. Like, yeah, I know. So, but we have had some, you know, we've had a spike in Texas, which was expected when we reopened. That was not something that was unexpected. I think the numbers have been, from what I can tell, manageable, certainly by the standards of the medical facilities. And so now we have to see how things, you know, for another week to 2 weeks, especially once we go to 50% capacity, barbershops open, you know, phase two, once phase two opens, we'll see some increases, obviously, in a couple of weeks. And it's just how those numbers look are going to be really big towards the confidence of the country in terms of moving forward. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. And there have been some good stuff, you know, some good news on the medical horizon, good news on the sports horizon. And one of the things that came out was Major League Baseball and their big plan. ESPN's got a big article on how Major League Baseball plans to start the season by the 4th of July. They're discussing starting it. So on July 3rd, you'll have the release of Hamilton, the musical, which is the biggest grossing, I believe it's the biggest grossing musical of all time. It's certainly the most heralded musical of all time that is the most credible thing I've ever personally witnessed. It was that good. And that original cast is going to be, it was filmed in the Richard Rodgers Theater with the original cast, and it's going to be released. It was going to be released to the archives in Washington. Then there was talk about a theatrical release. Well, now Lin-Manuel Miranda has moved it all the way up to the 3rd of July on Disney Plus, which is a huge get for Disney Plus. I mean, monster. And they need something to drive some revenue right now, because I know their stuff had gone down. But you could have a big thing like Hamilton for some people on July 3rd, 4th of July baseball starting with...
That's iffy right now.
Is it iffy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, the money thing, but
well, the only thing that's iffy is, and it's the only thing, it's the biggest thing, right, is how they figure out the money. 200,000 coronavirus test is what it will take. There are some, but they have done a lot. They've done a lot behind the scene. When you read this article, I mean, this is extremely well thought out. It's taken a long time to put this together. Baseball's plan calls for frequent but not daily testing, quarantining of only individuals who test positive, increasing the risk of spreading and contravening federal guidelines that advise individuals who come in contact with the confirmed infection to quarantine for at least 2 weeks. These are the issues that that some people have, that through interviews, public and private documents, email exchanges, and text messages with more than 80 players, managers, and athletic trainers, sports executive, public health officials, infectious disease experts, and government officials, ESPN found that. Lance McCullers on Monday said they had a big call on Monday, and I'm sure this is what it was about. Unless protective equipment and diagnostic testing become more prevalent in the coming weeks, Major League Baseball will be competing with medical providers for essential resources in some states. Major League Baseball vows it will not siphon resources from the public, which is a big deal. And then as Major League Baseball's plans took shape, health officials for big league cities were not consulted, leaving out critical decision makers the league is counting on to execute the plan. Baseball says it will do so when the plan is complete. So there are some, those are the hurdles, the three major hurdles that they have is how will testing and quarantining be handled? And that's a big deal for all sports, obviously, making sure that you don't take resources away, you know, something where billionaires and millionaires are taking resources away from common people who many times are not insured. You don't want to do that. And then you have to be in constant communication with the Sylvester Turners and the big, you know, the people who are in charge of the big cities where baseball is played. So once that those things get all, you know, hammered out, then you are moving in the right direction. Major League Baseball is losing roughly $75 million a day. When I saw that number, I was thinking, that can't possibly be true. I mean, $750 million in 10 days? Does that even sound possible that you could be losing that much?
You know, if they're making, is it $4 billion a year? Figure it out. I mean,
a billion in 2 weeks? I did the numbers. Yeah. $75 million. I don't know how they're figuring it out, but it gets to $1 billion in 2 weeks.
That's not, so then it's
$2 billion a month you're losing.
Yeah, I don't know their math. I have no idea. Listen, without fans, though, I mean, this is going to be a big loser for the owners. It's going to be because they were too stupid in to begin with, and they said, "Oh, you'll get half your pay if you play half the games." But that's what they agreed to. I don't care. It's their money. They're gonna take a big loss this year. I don't know, and I don't know what they're losing. If they're making that much money, then they shouldn't bitch about the players because they've been raking it in. And if, you know what? If they take an L for 1 year, oh well. Because if they're making that much money off of this, then really, I could care less what happens to them this year. But I just thought, you know what? We just a bad time. Who was it yesterday? We had sound from. Oh, it was Frank Thomas who said, "Man, this is a bad look, players and owners. Stop."
Well, have you noticed that it's all the current player? It's always the former players. The current players are all, you know, guys like Bryce Harper. They're down. They're super down. But Tom Glavine said players at risk of taking blame if baseball season is called off. It's a different – for Tom Glavine, that would be true. It's a weird time where the fans just unconditionally back players now. And I don't think – I don't know. I don't know that players will, in any sport will take heat until something – until it's gone, and then people realize, oh, my God, what happened? Like, minor league baseball, I saw an article yesterday that minor league baseball is in extreme trouble because it's already, you know, it doesn't cost an arm and a leg to run. Players are not paid all that much at all. But they say they're likely to have 2 to 4 teams who, for sure, I think it was the AAA level, just won't exist anymore, for sure. Well, that's a lot of players for a major league team to now find, you know, and they say if this continues to go on, it will wipe out certain areas of the minor league.
So where do you
house those players?
And the travel. I just saw a picture of a flight from Fresno to Dallas. The whole plane was just packed, was full. And it's like, I thought that they weren't going to have people in the middle seats. Every seat was full. The guy said every single row was full except for maybe 4 rows and the whole plane. He said, "I never felt so unsafe in my life." That's just an incubator.
Oh, no. I mean, airlines are getting their money back. You can forget it.
Oh, my goodness. What happened to social distancing rules?
Nah.
I guess in the
airlines, here's your bailout. Cool. Now we're jamming the middle lanes back also because we're not playing these games.
Holy crap.
Now, which airline? Was that Spirit? If it's Spirit,
American.
You already know it's a fist fight anyway
American.
When you get on.
It was no Spirit. You can just expect to get into a fight. You can just expect to get punched in the face.
Are you saying that you might be in a fist fight with somebody with coronavirus in Spirit?
Yes. You could possibly. They could.
Yeah, is that how you get earn your ticket onto the plane? You have to beat somebody in a fight?
That's exactly how you. That's how you get your seat. You know how at Southwest you got to wait in line. At Southwest you got to wait in line.
Yeah.
At Continental now you have to. You have to buy your seats. Otherwise you don't get. I mean, really, really buy them in advance.
Yeah.
And then it's
not
Spirit,
cheap.
You just fight your way.
It's
okay?
Spirit, like, you get to the airport, you got your mask on and everything. Like, hey, why you got your hands all taped up? And you got the
Flight
little
Spirit.
where the guy with the ref comes in and, you know, takes his marker and puts his initials on the tape to make sure that it shows that he's checked the tape. Make sure you don't have plaster under the tape. What? Why are y'all taped up? I'm Flying Spirit. I have a big fight coming up at 10:17. My fight's at 10:17.
I'm trying to get in the first class. I'm trying to get in the first class.
First class in Spirit. Is there stripper poles? What is that?
Wait, Spirit planes don't have first class.
I would be shocked if they did.
I don't think they do.
Like I said, maybe you get a lap dance or something. I don't know. I think I flew Spirit years ago, and it might have been called something else, on a flight back from Vegas, and it was an awful experience.
I'm trying to get a bye so I don't have to fight during the flight.
Yeah. If I win my fight, I don't have to fight on the plane. I'm really excited. I've got a 12 pound advantage over my combatant, so I'm pretty excited. I think my wife may have some problems, though.
Yeah,
she's got a really tough fight, and we don't
she's
think.
Fighting.
Yeah,
she's, Yeah.
And I know my kid is just going to get whipped, so I'm not sure how if they're going to make it, but I feel good that I'll make the flight.
All right, 713-780-377.
Spirit Airlines, throw them hands.
713-780-3776, the number, if you'd like to get in here to hang with us.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. I was watching a piece this morning about they were picking the unders and overs and, of the AFC South teams, Lance, and they had all three, the Colts, the Texans, and the Titans, all going over their win totals of 9, 9, and 8. 8, whatever, the Texans are 8, or in some places 8.5, or whatever they are. And then, but at 4.5, they had the Jags going under. Under 4.5. And
well, there's a thought there. They're hopeful that they can be terrible.
Yeah. I think Washington, I think the Giants are going to be right there. I think the Giants are going to be bad because I don't know about the second season for Daniel Jones. That's where you gotta he's got to really really step up because
at least they have a running game though.
Yeah, they do have a running game. There's no question about that. They do have that. I think the NFC East is still terrible, probably the worst division in football. Although that could bode well for both of those teams because they could beat each other.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I don't see the Giants. I see the Jags being pretty bad. I see the Jags being pretty bad. It wouldn't shock me if the Bengals were still pretty bad also.
Yeah, that wouldn't be shocking at all. And, boy, how about that? If that's the case, if they get the number one pick again, well, now they can turn that into a lot of draft capital because what will people pay for Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, but if they – yeah, that's true, but here's the thing. If they're the worst team in football, Joe Burrow hasn't played very well, more than likely. And would Joe Burrow be the guy that they move and they hang on to Trevor Lawrence?
Maybe.
I mean, that's more likely is that he gets Josh Rosen treatment and he gets his brisket packed up and moved out of there.
Ooh. Yeah, well, yeah, I guess he would have to play very, very poorly for them or be injured early. Well, suppose he got injured early. And
yeah, that's one way of looking at it. But still, you're still left with a decision. Would you rather have Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence? That would still be a decision no matter what and no matter how well he played if you were the worst team in football. So
Right. Well, if he played okay before he – you know, before he went down, if he did get injured, that's a tough one. Because who would bring more draft capital? Burrow, a guy coming off an injury, or Trevor Lawrence? And then the second thing is, well, which one would you rather have? And Trevor Lawrence is the answer, more than likely. But which one would you get more for is Trevor Lawrence? Well, that would be unbelievable. What would you take if you were them for the number one pick?
It's hard to figure out number one picks. Like, I think the Lions are quietly in the mix, too, just because I feel like Matt Stafford got hurt last year. I don't know that team's bought in over there. You know, is there a front runner for the worst team in football? It's not going to be the Texans, I wouldn't assume. Although I'll say, they have the makings of a team that could be beat to hell on the offensive side and not very good on the defensive side. But as long as Deshaun Watson is healthy, we know that they're going to win no worse than 6 games as long as he's healthy. The question becomes, what happens if Deshaun Watson were to go out? All of a sudden, I think you got a chance to be one of the worst teams in football.
Oh, like you were when he did go out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, you were terrible.
Oh, they were the worst.
Yep.
And no. That's a God forbid. Why are you shut your filthy whore mouth when you're talking about stuff?
I think
like
he's
that.
Got a great idea.
I think that's like the worst idea ever.
I mean, I don't need Deshaun to be heard, but if it happens, and I know there's a pick involved.
My goodness, that is like, why would you say something like that out loud?
Well,
like
because
getting hurt.
I know he's never been hurt, but I'm saying he could get hurt at some point.
He doesn't get hurt.
I know.
Well,
the dirt.
In this piece, like we've been saying, you don't make a living betting against Bill O'Brien. Because he wins. He wins titles, and he wins, and he goes over on the under-over. That's what happens. You can hate all you want on his general managership, which has been horrific. But as far as coaching
goes. Did you just think he said general manager something else?
No, I
It looked like it. You turned and had a little explosive movement towards the dump button when he said general managership.
Now my hips are tight. I wouldn't have made it anyway. I was just plugging in my laptop, so I got up. So maybe that's what you thought it was. I was listening to a podcast about the NFL and potential fantasy stuff, and it tied in. They were just talking about guys who could have big years, and they were like, David Johnson's due for a big year. And, of course, they pointed to 2016. And I was like, yeah, okay, like that matters for 4 years. And they said, well, he's going to get the bulk of the carries because Duke Johnson's not a every down back. And they were like, and David Johnson's obviously better than Carlos Hyde. I was like, are you sure?
Whoa, are you sure
about that?
What podcast is this? I know to avoid it.
It was part of the Ringer Network as their NFL podcast. The NFL show, whatever they call it. And I was like, are you sure?
With my man Robert Mays?
He wasn't doing it. It was
Kevin Clark, I think his name is.
He was on vacation. It was a couple of fantasy guys. And I was like, what? Are we sure that David Johnson's better than Carlos
Hyde? Fantasy people should never say that. They know better than that right now.
Well, they were. John knows it himself. They're pointing to David Johnson was the unanimous number one overall pick in 2017. I was like, is it 2017? Because I feel like it's 2020, and they felt like Bill O'Brien was going to feed David Johnson, so that would help. And I was like, I don't think he's better than Carlos Hyde.
I mean, to me, you can take your chance in fantasy football on David Johnson, but the question is, when do you take your chance? You're gambling on a ton of touches. Now he does have third down ability. He is a pass catcher, so you do have that going for you. But you have to really have faith that he'll stay healthy, that he'll be in shape, that he will be used heavily. And I still think there's a chance that whoever's the third running back has a chance to be a factor this year.
Really, their point was he's going to be in a better offense because Arizona was – well, the years in Arizona, particularly after 2016, were kind of a mess, and you include the Josh Rosen factor.
That's all true.
And that if you can get 1,000-plus yards out of Carlos Hyde – you can do the same out of David Johnson.
Yeah, he could have a big year. He absolutely could have a big year. And you know what? If he stays healthy, I expect him to have one.
A big year?
Listen,
you think he'll go for 1,000?
Lamar Miller was okay, and Carlos Hyde was okay. You know what? The Texans can run the football okay. And look at Lamar Miller was okay with a crappy offensive line. Last year, the offensive line got better. Carlos Hyde was pretty damn good. The combination, he and Duke were pretty good. Now David Duke is going to be he's got a chance to be a solid back.
Do you see Tyler or David Johnson getting 1,000 yards rushing? Now, I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but David Johnson in comparison to Carlos Hyde, they are different. David Johnson, we're talking about a former college football receiver who turned to running back at Northern Iowa. And so, I mean, David Johnson's a legitimate threat out of the backfield where Carlos Hyde is a running back. So I don't want to put too much into the 1,000 yards rushing thing. Do you think David Johnson would rush for more yards than Carlos Hyde, potentially?
Maybe not. I think they're going to split a lot of the carries, too.
Now, total yardage, he's definitely got a chance to beat Carlos Hyde in total yardage.
Yeah.
But yeah. Duke catches
and
passes,
too. Would
that
be a successful season if his combined yards are more than Carlos Hyde's?
You know, I'm looking at running backs, John. You got Buddy Howell, who we really didn't see much of last year. Caron Higdon, who I like, but he's limited. And he's just a smaller, tough guy. He's a little undersized, but he's an early down back who's a little undersized. And it's Scotty Phillips, who I actually like out of Ole Miss. I think Scotty Phillips has some potential to make this team. He's a nice little running back. He's got a shot to become the running back three. But this is a running back from a fantasy football standpoint. This is a team that is kind of interesting in terms of what you're willing to gamble on. I feel like you won't really know what this team is going to look like until about week four. Anything else is speculative. Once you get to about week four, you may get a better feel for how does David Johnson look? Is he in shape? Which one of these guys are going to be not in football shape because they haven't been doing what they need to do in terms of stretching and strengthening before the season starts? This could be a really intriguing year football-wise because some big-name players could be out, which could affect win totals, because of injuries due to the unusual scheduling.
Well, I think the best shot is this, is that the first four games are moved. And you're not going to start until October. I think that's the best shot. And then that'll give guys plenty of time with the trainers, with the coaches, to work and work and work and be in shape.
It's longer. You're going to have, it's longer time that you're – in longer time meaning normal time – that you're going to have to stay testing negative. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Or we'll have some kind of an answer, some kind of a shot, some kind of vaccine, something.
Well, they just said it's highly unlikely until December-ish.
Well, we'll see.
If it's fast track. So that's the problem is you're going to have a plan on how you handle that in football because baseball is one thing. Football is close quarters. Did you see the mask they're working on? They're working on a football mask. Did you guys see that?
Well, yep. And, we'll see. I mean, this is America. We're innovative, okay? We do things. So we can make money. Who's ever going to make a football mask that keeps the coronavirus out is going to be a bajillionaire. So
yeah, but can we make one that we can sell with the team colors on it in the team shop?
That's right. Yeah, you're damn right we can. We're already selling masks for our teams. We'll get a face mask for people, too.
And when we come back, I'm going to ask you guys this question. I had a discussion with a guy from a team yesterday who had – a very interesting idea of how to bring fans into the building with the teams. And I want to ask you guys about the viability of this and the money it could make for teams in the, obviously in the face of losing fan bases in the stands. So it's 7:30 right here on the bench.
I want to talk about Doc Linville right now. I'm running my hands through my thick hair right now. That's happening right now. Because of Doc Linville. Because Doc is awesome. And listen, Doc Linville is going to make sure that he does this right, too. So if you're thinning, if your hair is thinning right now, he could do the PRP where he takes your own blood, he spins it up, and then he shoots it back in there, and that'll stimulate the growth. He's not just going to go willy-nilly in there and, let's put some here, put some there. No, but if you've got a bald spot or you're completely bald, Fred had a lot of work done. Fred was in the chair for a while, and he was working that night. I did mine on a Friday. I was back on Monday at work. All fine. Everything was great. The procedure is fantastic. The results have been even better. I mean, it is just unbelievable. Like I had a giant 9-iron divot out of the back of my head, and now it's all filled in. I mean, it's just sensational. And that hair will last forever because it comes from the side of your head. That doesn't fall out. Or the back of your head. So if you're looking for the best way to do this thing, I tried the other one before. It was terrible. This one, fantastic. Doc Linville. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
Load and ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Good morning.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, John, Dell's going to be really beloved today since Nick Sciarra was taking so much heat for his music choice yesterday. Nothing really registered with me, and there was about four people just hating on Nick for his music choice yesterday. Dell, I guess it was too, they said it was too buzz, it sounded too much like The Buzz.
Oh, was it Nirvana and Seether and stuff like that?
No, it was not Nirvana and it wasn't Seether necessarily, but it was some other stuff. They started hitting him with not just Nickelback, but who was the other? Like, they were hitting him with all...
Creed?
Some Creed, but Shine Down and all this other stuff.
Well, that is buzz stuff. I got a tweet. I guess we were all in on it about, well, guys, I really like to listen to the best show on the face of the earth on the podcast, but because I really don't want to have to go over to 790 or 610. I was like, it's one of the same guys who has an issue. I was like, buddy, I don't work Tuesdays, Thursdays. That's not my deal. That's not
my
issue.
Was he upset that... Was the bumper music going to make him change channels?
No, he doesn't listen to the show live, apparently. Oh. He took issue with the fact that, I guess the tweet that came in probably maybe 1 or 12, I don't know. He goes, I would really, really not like to have to go listen to 790 or 610, but, you know, the podcast isn't up, so what's that about? I was like, I'm not here. Sorry, man. Can't help you. I don't work Tuesdays, Thursdays.
So the podcast thing, it used to be we had a bunch of interns here. Like, John would bring interns in. They would not show up. And then the other interns would come in. And
yes.
And then when the other interns came in, they do podcasts literally as the show's going on. That's not the case now. You guys have to do all that stuff and run shows, right?
Correct.
So it takes a little while.
Well, for some of us.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Yeah, Dell's a super hard worker, John.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Well,
it's not
that's
that.
That's certainly not the case.
John asked me about it once. I was like, well, you just pull it as it goes, and that's how
do it. Yeah, they don't do it that way. Tyler does it all at the end. Dell's pulling it as it goes, and Tyler goes, I don't do that.
Well, Tyler's no longer on the now Nick joint, so he may do the same thing. I'm not sure, but I don't remember the tweeter. He has like an Oilers thing in his avatar. Sorry, man, if you're listening to this. I'm not on Tuesdays, Thursdays. I can't help you.
He can't help you with that. We got this also. Roland says, John must have gotten those Texans cookies again. Did you get another delivery?
I did not get another delivery just because I think that their offense is going to be pretty good. Okay? I'm using my head logically.
Top 10 offense?
Is it going to be top 10?
It's going to be.
You're all in on David Johnson now. Yesterday he was a terrible contract. Today it's like he's got a chance to have a big year.
It's the worst contract in the NFL.
Now he's got a chance to have a big year.
Well, he's got a chance to. No, he does. Both of those could be true. It's the worst contract in the NFL, and he's got a chance.
It's not the worst in the NFL if you have a big year.
No, yes, it is, because you didn't have to pay him $12 million.
The worst are guys who have big contracts who don't do anything.
For that same contribution, you could have paid him $2.5 million.
For a division championship, which you're all got your pom-poms about your division titles?
Bill Bryan always exceeds expectations. Certainly. Now, I put something on the rundown about NFL contracts and who is underpaid and who's most overpaid at every position. David Johnson, not the running back who made the list. Can you guess which running back considered the most overpaid in football?
The running back that is the most overpaid.
Did they take? No, it's not Gurley's contract. Is not anymore.
No, but it's not David Johnson either.
Let me think about it. The most overpaid running back. It has to be a full. Oh, Le'Veon Bell.
That is correct.
Yeah, it's got to be Le'Veon Bell. Pretty much as soon as you sign a guy to a new contract or running back. See, this is what's continuing to devalue running backs. The only people that are to blame for the devaluing of the running backs are running backs because they underperform. That's really, honestly, John, that's the truth. Running backs crap the bed as soon as they get their money. Todd Gurley. Immediately they turn themselves into bad contracts as soon as they get paid. Lev Bell. Terrible contract right now. David Johnson, terrible contract. Who's to blame for that? I've heard this. You know, it's not fair what happens to running backs. You know what I was told was there's a running back coach who told me what you need to do is it was an agent who said this. Give them their money a little bit earlier, but work with the idea that basically they're going to be six-year players, potentially seven-year players, because the idea is, okay, you get past your first year, your first contract. If you're not a first rounder, most running backs aren't first rounders, it's 4 years. Then you sign your big contract after that, and you've already got problems by year six. And the idea was, you know what? If teams get extensions done in year, like after year three, they might be able to pay the good running backs, keep the numbers down a little bit on the back end, and keep them in under their contract where the running back's happy, the team is happy, and they're still getting productivity out of a guy like Zeke Elliott in year six and maybe year seven. But it's almost like as soon as you sign that contract for a running back for a second year to higher money, you know it's a bad deal. Almost as soon as the ink is dry, you know you've got a bad deal on your hands.
Yeah, it happens over and over and over and over.
And it's not going to get better.
But here's
it's
the problem is
that
when you got a Zeke or you got a Barkley or you got a Gurley or you got a premier running back and look a Henry. What were the Titans supposed? What are the Titans supposed to do with Derrick Henry? I guess franchise him is a good idea, but you're paying him. You're still paying him, but
franchising is the only right answer right now.
I guess it's the only thing.
It's the only right answer right now, because look at the alternatives are bad contracts.
Right.
That's all we see right now. So you franchise him, the player makes a bunch of money. If the player wants a long term deal, it's just those are going to teams aren't dumb anymore. Teams are using the basic data that's available to them in terms of productivity, you know, an analytic approach, which is productivity versus payment. And and teams aren't stupid. I mean, the data is all out. It's not a smart move to have a running back and the paying him premium money in years 5 through 8 5 through 7 of his career. It's just not very smart.
So the Titans franchise Derrick Henry, he'll be 26 in 2020. Whenever the season starts, he'll be 27. In the next year, they could franchise him. Right, you can still do that twice.
Yeah.
And then the Titans go, you know what?
And then he's gone.
We're done.
And then what you do is you get running backs. And that's the way, frankly, that running backs can get paid is, do you get long-term? No. But by the same token, you can be with the same team for 6 years and in some cases 7 years. And you do get money, big guarantee money, but only 1 year at a time. It's not optimal for running backs, but what running backs are going to have to realize is they just don't – this has been going on for a while now. You just don't have the value that you used to. And teams have figured out we can just run running backs through here that aren't early round picks. They can want it to be this way. They can want it to be, hey, where's our gigantic bags? But it's only dumb teams are doing that now.
Lamont says this on Twitter. He says, if Deshaun gets hurt, it'll be the greatest thing for this team. It means O'Brien is just one step closer to being out of here. And that's simply not the case. If he gets hurt, he's got an excuse. And listen, the only way Bill O'Brien is out of here ever, and it's still not going to happen probably, is if they're terrible with Deshaun. If they're terrible with Deshaun, or Deshaun decides, I don't want to play here anymore, I just can't. Can't come to terms with this guy. I don't want to play for this guy. Then there's a possibility that Bill O'Brien is gone. But that's the only way. Because if Deshaun, when Deshaun got hurt, did it affect Bill O'Brien in any way? No, they were terrible. And you know what else sucks? Is how terrible they were. Like I said, how many times have we said they play hard for Bill O'Brien? Well, they sucked when Deshaun went down. Look at the Steelers last year with Bubby, what's his name?
Duck Hodges. Not whatever. Bubby, what's his name?
You know what? They were fighting for a playoff spot with Ducky Boy. And are you kidding me? With Duck, you're fighting for a playoff spot. And the Texans just laid
down. Yeah, with Duck, he was better than Mason Randolph or whatever your guy's name
Mason
is.
Mason Rudolph, who's one of the greats of all time.
The Steelers had a racist and a duck and almost made the playoffs.
By the way, certain people from Cleveland have said, hey, was any of that, what was said on the, we all knew it was a lie. He goes, it was common knowledge on the team that Myles Garrett tried to play that card. And there's some people who thought maybe ownership had him try to play it. I don't know if that was, I don't know. But that, use this, you might be able to get out of this. And that's why you don't hear anyone talking about it from Cleveland. It's like, Miles.
Miles, what was said? Oh, no, no. Are you sure nothing was said? You sure? Did you happen to hear any words that start with that?
Because I can tell you what it sounded like from way up here.
Yeah.
I thought there may have been a slur. A slur that would get you out of this suspension.
Right.
Maybe. I
might have heard something.
Maybe.
I mean, the field mics are that powerful? I mean, maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, because
I don't know.
I mean, I listened to a lot of music, and I didn't really hear, but...
Hey, listen, there were some players who were mic'd up. It turns out there were mic'd up players. We're going to need you to bail on this. What? I'm already in on this.
This was your idea.
This is your idea. Yeah, I don't know. We can't help you on this one. You're going to just take your suspension and just be quiet. Hey,
Lance.
When we come back, I'll tell you the plan to help the NFL make some money. And I want to see if you guys would be interested in it. You, as a Dolphin fan, Dell, and John, you, as a Browns fan... /Texans fan.
I'm a Texans fan.
Slash.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Does he have another slash?
I don't know. Depends where an Oklahoma State
original
player.
Season ticket
Bengal
holder.
Fan.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Bengals fan.
Bengal fan, yeah.
Certainly, yeah.
Original season ticket holder.
Yeah.
That's me.
Well, okay. And cookie devourer as
our
well.
Our Texans. Yeah, that's right.
Cookie
they
monster.
Send me more cookies, guess what? I may buy my season tickets again.
The pizza's arrived. Mr. Granada, we're not going to leave these out here. Touch-free delivery.
Man, is Ben Roethlisberger fat? Holy crap.
Yeah, Ben's not small. And what he could do is I suggest a liquid diet. And that liquid is Blackland Distillery.
My favorite.
Yeah, Blackland Distillery is a liquid diet. And you can try that. I don't know if I would keep doing it, but one of the complaints about the bourbon they have is it's so easy to drink that you can just go pretty hard in the paint. On their bourbon. They're one of the only grain-to-glass distilleries in the entire state of Texas. Only about 10 to 12% of distillers, that's about the number, are actual grain-to-glass, meaning they start with the actual wheat and the corn or whatever the blend is, whatever the mix is. They're one of the only ones who does it. Most of these companies out there buy their alcohol from other locations, and then they trick out their spirits. But they buy the base somewhere else. These places that are making the hand sanitizer, those are legitimate, you know, distilleries. The ones who can make the hand sanitizers for first responders and hospitals, just like Blackland Distillery has been doing, they're the ones who produce their own. And so that's one of the reasons why they can get the unbelievable flavors that they're getting. They just made it into the specs downtown, and now is your chance. Now, what Marcus told me is they are going fast off the shelf. So if they're not in, just ask them when they expect another delivery of Blackland Distillery. But their bourbon is smooth, creamy finish, the vanilla, the hints of vanilla and tobacco with the smokiness in there. You've got a vodka that is a distillery winner. It just won an award as a distillery champ. And four different spirits are made right here in the state of Texas. Grain to glass, gin, vodka, bourbon, and rye. And my friends over at Blackland Distillery said, we're really getting in more and more stores in Houston. We can't wait for you guys to try it. Blackland Distillery, distinctively original. It's Blackland Distillery.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You hear the House of Pain here. I saw this. They talked about this concert. I went to this concert with Cypress Hill was the headliner. House of Pain was right below them. Funk Dubious. And then a band called The Hooligans. And I saw backstage footage of all this, of this concert on the LA Originals documentary, where it's about a tattoo artist named Mr. Cartoon and Esteban, a photographer. I mentioned it the other day, and Esteban was on tour with DJ Muggs and Cypress Hill and House of Pain, and it was here at a place called the Unicorn Ballroom. John, how about this? I'll never forget this. It was me, my buddy HQ, you know, the bald guy with the goatee who was at my birthday party, who was throwing down shots left and right. The Colombian dude, and then Solis was there. There was about five or six of us, and we had one guy who was supposed to be the designated driver. Like, we gave him the keys and said, listen, this is Cypress Hill, House of Paint. This is going to get, it's just, we're probably not going to drive. You're going to drive. This is what it's going to be. He's like, yeah, I'll drive. Everything's cool. Well, in the middle of the last, so Cypress Hill is on. They're the last artists. And the whole place is just filled with smoke. Like, the whole place. If you know anything about Cypress Hill, that's not a surprise. And all of a sudden, we see the designated driver on the stage sprinting and doing these forward flip into the crowd, like stage diving, like, oh my God, that was our ride. And we thought he A, could have been dead from the aggressive flip that he did. And then at one point he told us, oh, I can't find the keys. Oh my God, you can't find the keys. How are we going to get home? There was no Ubers back in the day. We knew how we were going to get home. And luckily somebody ended up finding the keys. It took like 45 minutes and just looked all over the ground. But yeah, he lost the keys whenever he did some flip into the crowd at the Cypress Hill concert. But it's never a good feeling to know that your designated driver is the one going the hardest in the paint. That's not a good feeling.
No, that's never a good thing.
Yeah, it was.
All right, so how do we get fans back in the stands?
Okay, so you can't get fans back in the stands, but I had this conversation. I can tell you. I was talking to Ballard about this, and he said we had 750,000 people watch our digital series on the making of the first pick of the draft, or the Colts first pick, or whatever it was. It's an in-house Indianapolis Colts directed thing. It was released at NFL Films or NFL.com or whatever. And it was pretty cool. You saw some of it, John, about the arguing that the Colts want to do for their draft picks. Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah. So that was like 750,000 people. Well, I think that's actually on the low side. I think you can get even more. We were talking about the fact, like, what if you gave fans an all access pass for the year? Let's say it's $50. And for this, they could be taken into, you know, practices. They could be taken into interviews with players. They could be taken into coaches, you know, film sessions with some of the coaches, things like that. They would have access like they've never had during a season into areas that they've never had access. And you have them pay an all access pass to get this, you know, and it's well produced. And obviously you have to do some editing, you know, because you want it to be as raw as possible, but there's going to have to be some things edited out. Do you think fans would buy an all-access pass to have access to their favorite teams? I think the answer would be yes. I definitely think it would be yes, especially if you made the price point right. I want to start with Dell because, you know, you're a Dolphins fan and you want to see what they're doing. Would you pay $50 if I told you that you could have access to their practices? Now, I'm not sure how this would work because teams don't like their practice stuff getting out. So it would have to be stylized where you
want it all they want. The coaches ain't doing it.
Yeah, you'd have to do it a certain way. But interviews with players, Zoom conferences with tape sessions, maybe a coach, one coach every week does a tape session with fans for 30 minutes. Things like if there's unique content that comes out of it, would you pay for some type of all access pass in lieu of, and you wouldn't be going to the games anyway, but in lieu of being able to get to the games?
I don't feel the need to consume Dolphins content. Maybe that'll change when Tua starts. I might care more if the Canes offered that because they are more of a, they don't provide as much access in terms of practice. Not that a lot of college teams do, but you just don't get a lot of footage of actual things going on in practice. I would probably pay the $50 for that, just to be able to watch practice clips. And maybe it's censored because you don't want plays out there. But just, hey, these are the top 10 plays from practice, stuff like that, and maybe get insights into recruiting philosophies and team meetings and stuff. I might be down for that. I think it might really depend on who my favorite team is, and I think it's the Canes, so I would do that. But
yeah,
not the Dolphins.
I think you could do it really, have it really stylized. So you wouldn't for one team, but you would for the other, which kind of leans into my point that there are people who have that kind of love for the teams that would like to see that kind of information out there. I think if you made it unique content, absolutely you could see people paying $50 for that. Now, that's a drop in the bucket compared to season tickets.
Yeah. Man, yeah. Good luck with the Patriots. Good luck with – I mean, coaches are so paranoid as it is. Goodness gracious.
And maybe it's not every team. Maybe it's only certain teams do this.
Yeah, you'd have to have the right coaching staff. You'd have to a team. Yeah, I guess. But so the team would get all the money, not the NFL. Because if everybody's not going to do it, then I don't see them splitting that revenue.
No. That's what I'm saying. If you made it available, say, look, if 100,000 fans want to pay, you know, $50 a piece, and all of a sudden that's $5 million revenue. No, it's not.
It is
5 million. That's not nothing, John.
No. Any way to get more revenue. But I just don't see the access that you're looking for out of coaches. I guess it would depend on the coach and whether or not he would open up and certainly practices or film sessions or whatever.
Listen, you have to really fine-tune what it is. You can't give away competitive advantages.
No.
But I do think there's a way to get behind the scenes and give people a behind-the-scenes look. It could be with the GM. It could be filming, talking about who you're going to pick up off as street free agents. It could be a lot of that different stuff. The thing is, it would be produced in-house, so the team would have total control over what gets in and what doesn't.
Right.
I could see somebody saying, you know what, I'll spend $150 and get these three teams.
I could see every coach buying it, every coach in the league buying it.
100%.
And have everybody watching and they watch every team so they get anything they possibly can.
Yeah, this is what you'll hear out of New England.
You've got the AFC South. You've got the AFC North. We're going to be looking at everybody, and I'm going to need you to watch Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to see if they show any of their alignments.
Coach, I don't think the Steelers are going to show their alignments.
You have to watch every minute of the documentary. It doesn't matter. Even Ben's haircut, even his beard cut.
I don't want to have to watch his beard cut, Coach.
They're not even on the schedule this year.
Come on, Coach.
But playoffs. Wait, you never know.
We have to watch Ben eat?
You never know if we play them in the playoffs.
Okay, Coach. I'll watch. We don't have the AFC North.
See what Joe Burrow's doing. I want to see what this kid's doing.
Even Belichick wants to watch Joe Burrow. Everybody wants to watch Joe Burrow.
We found severe weaknesses in his tape. We think he's one of the worst first-round picks of all time.
What if he said that?
He would never say that because that's dumb. 757.
I think that is a million. I think that's a $5+ million. And can you imagine for certain teams? I'm just saying the Colts. I think the Texans are Kool-Aid drinkers. There's plenty of fans that are Kool-Aid drinkers here. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine like the Pittsburgh Steelers fans across the nation? The Cowboys? Oh, my God. They might be able to sell 400,000 of those packs. At $50 a piece, that could be a $20 million winner for them.
Yeah, I ain't giving away all access. Jerry's saying,
we'll find a new coach, Mike McCarthy. We'll find a new coach. We're making $20 million.
Everybody else's is going to be $50. He's going to charge.
Yeah,
$5,
you're probably 000. Right. No. You're probably right.
All right, we got to talk right now about my peeps over at MMA Law Firm. The MMA Law Firm. You know what they do? They fight for you. And how about this? And here's the best thing about them. Now, if you have an issue with an insurance company, and this is they specialize in this, but they do dram shop, pharmaceutical law, medical devices, personal injury, 18-wheeler, whatever the case may be. But how about this? The MMA law firm knows you're dealing with enough, so they front all expenses. And if they win, their payment will come from the recovery, not out of your pocket. No settlement, no fees. That is huge. So you go in knowing, hey, nothing is coming out of my pocket. If we can win this case, then I'm going to get paid. They're going to get paid. LargeLossAttorneys.com. Are you having an issue if you are a business owner, a roof collapsed or flooding or you're still waiting or whatever the case may be and the insurance company doesn't want to pay you off? Well, guess what? That's what the MMA lawyers are here for. LargeLossAttorneys.com. Free, no obligation consultation at MMA. Keep MMA Law Firm in mind as we enter a rainy season as well with floods and hurricanes coming. They are a local law firm, and ESPN listeners that want they want to fight for you. LargeLossAttorneys.com. That's LargeLossAttorneys.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.